The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. Hope your weekend was great. We are going to get you started on a new week of sports here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If there's anything that you want to contribute, 713-780-3776, or you can tweet the show, which is what a lot of people do. Tweet the show at John Granato, at Lance Zierlein, at DellV2. And, of course, you can get on Twitch and watch our faces as you can't hear us during the breaks. That's a afternoon guy thing. We want to keep our jobs, so we've decided against that here on this show. But you can at least watch and listen and enjoy the show in that way as well. So, a nice Friday night, and then a back-and-forth Saturday, and then, you know, not much. They had 10 hits yesterday, but not a great weekend in San Francisco. It started really, really well.
Yeah.
That's a good baseball team. Yeah, that is a really good base. They're deep. That's a much better team. I mean, they're much better than anybody thought they would be this year. This was the Dodgers division and the Padres, you know, both of those guys. And for the Giants to be leading that division most of this season, which has been the case, they are something. They are really good. They come up with clutch hits. It's not like they're great anywhere, but adding Chris Bryant was a nice get. He homered. He, Rizzo, and Baez all homered in their first games for their new teams. So the Cubs, you know, just unloading everybody, which they did.
Everybody. Yeah. The Nationals and the Cubs said bye.
Yep.
We're not in this.
Yeah, we ain't in this.
But the thing that really stood out to me about the Giants series is that, you know, when you give them opportunities, they'll jump on it. And look, the ball was flying out of the park on Saturday. It was a problem for Greinke and for the Astros in general. They were hitting home runs too, but it was just Greinke just couldn't avoid the deep ball. And the home runs, you know, we saw again the home run crept up with Bryant. It's a team that has a better finishing kick with their bullpen. At least, you know, that's what it appears. The Giants, when you compare them to the Astros, I'd say hitting, they're a scrappy team who have guys up and down the lineup that can hit the ball out of the park in that ballpark. I don't know that they don't feel like a better team than the Astros.
No.
But they feel like a clutch team is what they feel like.
Yep. They come up with a bunch of clutch hits. It was nice to see. You know, we've seen – so the big, you know, Miles Straw leaving on Friday right before the trade deadline.
Which you didn't is mention something, if he homered.
Yeah, I don't care about him homering. Okay, so
I don't think he homered.
What were they playing at a little league field? They had a game at a little league field.
I don't think he homered.
Okay, no, I'm pretty sure he didn't. So you get Maton, who, you know what, he looks pretty good. He came in and did the job Saturday, slider. And Sunday. Yeah,
he's got a sharp slider. You know, Javier killed you on Saturday by not locating two strike pitches with two outs. Like, what are you doing? Why are you hitting so much of the plate when you're 0-2? That's terrible. I thought Saturday should have been a W for the good guys, but Maton really has a sharp bite on his slider. You know, it's one of those little frisbees that shows in the zone and then dips out of the zone. And, I thought he looked – you can tell he's got some stuff the Astros covet. You know, there's something there. They covet certain types of pitchers, and you can tell he's got that spin rate because of how sharp the ball breaks. But he was – Yimi gave up a home run on Saturdays. That was welcome to the Astros. Here's a home run.
Yeah.
But
– Well, that – you know what? Oh, well.
Dino Graveman looks –
Yastrzemski's a little pain in the ass. He really
he
is. He really is. He's that kind of player – I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how the Red Sox gave up on this guy, but he going over there. Maybe I'm just thinking of his grandfather. Ruff is a pain in the ass. He was a pain in the ass all weekend long. It was, you know what? It was good competition. You are you lose two out of three so far on this road trip. You're 3-3, and you've got two more against the Dodgers tonight. And I think they're going to boo. I'm not sure it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt a lot of the Astros' feelings, but I think they're going to be caught. There's going to be signs about trash cans.
Oh yeah, just say something about Altuve. All I'm asking is for you to say something about Altuve.
So
because when you do, as we saw Friday night, when it's almost a given that if you step out of line against Altuve, he'll hit a grand slam against you.
Yeah,
that's basically the rules. You had NBC Sports, you know, Pacific Northwest or whatever it's called. They had a video of Jose Altuve striking out on a terrible pitch. It was poor, you know, and he took a ball that was called a strike. And when he went back to the dugout, he smashed his bat on the ground a couple times. And this Twitter account run by whatever intern said, "Bang twice for off speed pitch" or something like that.
Yeah, I saw that.
And so that was cool. And then after
that's
they
so
did,
funny though. How, yeah, you know.
No, and after they did that, he hit a home run, and then later he decided to give him also a grand slam.
Yeah.
That was after they tweeted that out.
Right.
So it's getting to the point now where if somebody says something out of line against Altuve, even if he can't read it or see it, you just know that he is going to make you pay. We've seen it now with three or four teams on the year. That's just what he does. And we already know the Yankees are terrified. Their fan base is terrified of Altuve.
And our last little vacation, we were away, and we met this nice couple at the pool, and they were from San Jose. A couple of cops that married, they got married, and we exchanged numbers, and he sent me a picture of him and his son in the stands and saying, "That little vertically challenged second baseman of yours is ruining our night." And and I was like, "That you're damn right he is," but they got us back over the weekend. So no big deal. Astros with still a 4.5-game lead over the A's and tied for the best record. What with Tampa coming up and winning four straight and the Red Sox losing four straight, it's a tie for the best record in the American League. So that is pretty good. 22 games over 500 still. We got a good baseball team. You go into San Francisco and lose two out of three. There's no shame there. Good thing they got that one the other night. Our Texans continue to practice. It was apparently not all that great out there.
Davis Mills
apparently is scuffling a little bit.
Did not have a good practice. Reed got him once with an interception. Yeah, he threw some picks out there, and he was asked about it. David Culley was, and just, you know, he says that's just part of it. He didn't sound panicked or anything, but this is what Davis Mills is going to go through. He has 11 starts as a pro, and this is why you got to get him reps. As a collegiate.
Right,
11 starts total. He's had a lot of injuries to deal with. He couldn't beat out KJ Costello early in his career. So,
how are you going to beat out a guy that set the SEC record for most passing yards in a game? You can't.
It's difficult. Now, that same guy was really bad after that.
That doesn't matter, though. He had that day.
Other than that one day.
Right.
But it is, you know, you've got to get him reps. You've got to see what he, because maybe this is who he is. Maybe this is what needs to get worked out of a system. Maybe he just, for sure he needs reps. He needs to see defenses. He needs to see pro defenses moving. I mean, the Pac-12 is not a good football conference, and it's not like that prepared him for NFL defenses. So, you know, this is going to happen. You just need to find out, is this going to be what's going to happen on the road to becoming a good quarterback, or is this going to be, hey, this is foreshadowing of what's to come? You hope that's not the answer, but I don't read too much into this kind of stuff. I mean, he shouldn't be dicing up NFL defenses. There's nothing in his background that should tell you that he's ready to do that kind of thing right now.
Yeah. No, and, yeah, Tyrod Taylor had personal issues, so he wasn't going to be there, but he's going to be back.
Excused absence.
He's, apparently, but David Culley wouldn't elaborate, and he shouldn't. So it is, though, if anything should happen to Tyrod Taylor, it really, really might be scary. And while you have, especially early on here, if anything happens to Tyrod Taylor, that it's going to be difficult.
It'd be Driscoll time.
Probably.
Have to. He's got NFL experience. Yeah. Mills isn't ready.
But, I don't know if the team is actually going to, under Jeff Driskel, is going to be competing for the division and possibly the conference title.
I don't think under any quarterback scenario are you going to be.
I don't know. I mean, Tyrod Taylor he's a Pro Bowler. He's a former Pro Bowler. So, you know, Tyrod Taylor has.
He was an injury-based late edition Pro Bowler in 15.
Well, was that a Pro Bowl or was it not?
6 years ago, correct?
Yeah, yeah. So, and that's probably the last time he had any meaningful snaps, actually, what with injuries and other stuff that goes on. It is not an ideal situation for Tyrod Taylor to miss ever any snap, anytime. And you got to see Davis Mills at some point this season. You have to, because you have to know what you want. Or maybe you don't. Maybe you just see him in practice and he's still overwhelmed by midseason and you can't put him in. But that's your answer too, then. That's your answer too. If he's so overwhelmed and can't get on the field, then you know that you don't have your guy that way too. Well, we'll see. But that was interesting yesterday with the club not having Tyrod Taylor there. I'm sure it was a little frustrating for everybody on the team and in the front office seeing that. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So much more to do, including. There's some stuff. We got a lot of Olympic stuff to talk about. We also got an NHL player who's being accused of gambling by his soon-to-be ex-wife. And we'll get to that, too, as well here on ESPN 97.5. And we haven't even talked about the Colts and what's happened with Carson Wentz.
Every year they got something. Some new disaster.
Yeah, a quarterback.
It's unbelievable how much bad luck they have. But yeah. Frank Reich is not at practice. He's got COVID. He is not at practice right now. And in the meantime, they had to call him up. Hey, I know you're not at practice. Did you hear the news on Carson Wentz? Yeah. If you haven't heard, we'll tell you here in about 2 minutes what's going on with Carson Wentz, because the division just opened wide open for the Texans now.
All right, so we got that. Right now, though, it's absolute marble and granite, and Jeff likes when I talk about, he's told me before, he says, man, I really like when you talk about, hey, it's got to be a big job. Jeff doesn't want to, he's not coming over to your house to fix your steps or to just look at your tiles in your bathtub. That's not it. That's not what he does. What he does is renovates entire homes, renovates entire backyards, puts in in vanities in hotels. It doesn't matter how big this hotel is. It could be 40 rooms. It could be 4,000 rooms. It doesn't matter. Jeff Aronoff can get that job done and will install those. And he does that and he does countertops as well in that area. And he also does anything that you need to make that business or your home more valuable. And if you don't update, if you don't do anything, you're just throwing away money, because this is probably the biggest investment that you've ever had, or one of, is your home. And if you don't upgrade it, if you don't keep it looking as nice, or remodeling and putting in new stuff, it gets old and it will not sell for as much. It loses its value. So you're looking for that? Jeff Aronoff is here for you. What big job you got? 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. How many starts does Mac Jones have? Mac Jones has way more starts. He had a whole national championship season, and then he started when Tua was hurt as well. So, yeah, Mac Jones has a lot of more starts. That's why he went in the first round. And
no, I think he has. How many does he have? He didn't have a ton more.
Well, he had at least 15 last year.
Did they play 15? Then they play.
And then
one
he
less
had
game?
Stars when Tua was.
Well, you know who? No, about 17. You know who has the same amount is Trey Lance. Trey Lance has the same amount of starts as Davis Mills.
Yeah, and against lesser competition too.
Yeah.
So no, yeah. So
yeah, he's played. Yeah, you're right. I mean, he's played. They had 13 last year. He's played. Well, he had 13 games last year. Does that not include the?
No, remember the season was reduced because
of COVID.
That's right.
Yeah.
So 30 games. He's got 30 games.
30 games.
He didn't start 30. He played 30.
No, but he's played in 30.
Yeah.
And he played a lot when Tua was hurt.
That was but two or three games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Davis Mills' college stats, just so you know, he played in one game in 2018. He played in eight games in 2019. And then he played in five games. All-star.
Played all-stars?
In 2020. Well, yeah, COVID, but... I mean, COVID shortened season.
Yeah. So, Alex Bregman with another setback.
Yeah. Yeah, he had to be pulled with... Is it precautionary?
No, I think he had a hamstring issue.
Yeah, they were saying on the news, but there is no news.
It was on his non-quad leg.
Yeah.
And he had to be pulled.
He felt a twinge. It came out for the Skeeters yesterday, and I have not seen anything new in terms of I don't think we'll hear anything until later today.
Yeah, it's that's not good. I mean, you figure to get that guy back, and that would be like you just made a trade for a big bat in the lineup, and we'll see now whether or not Alex Correa can get back on the field. At any
that's
point.
Hateful.
Well, it's not hateful.
He is 1-for-13.
He needs at bats, that thing. And he needs to be healthy, that thing. And so
1-for-13 with one strikeout, but his slugging percentage currently is zero.
I'm sorry.
No. I was like, how can he be zero if he's got a hit? I'm sorry, because he doesn't have a hit.
He had a walk.
He actually has a run scored. He's 0-for-13.
Yeah, he had a walk.
Three walks, one strikeout.
But his on base has got to be up there.
Yeah,
higher than his slugging.
It's 2888. And by the way, Miles Straw also home run.
He homered. Miles Straw did homer.
This
weekend against the White Sox.
Well, Ledmus Diaz had home runs too. Ledmus Diaz, all he's doing is just killing a bar.
Holy crap. Two homers in that game. A game you weren't able to win, but still, holy crap. That is awesome. If a Ledmus Fuller and Alex Correa could get back.
Stop it.
Now all of a sudden we got ourselves now it's a deeper lineup. We haven't even talked about how about the trade. James Click talked about it. He said, you know what, we needed another arm. We've got a guy in Chaz McCormick that we believe with more at bats, his slugging percentage and what he's doing, he deserves more at bats. So we thought that Miles Straw was expendable. And you bring in Maton, and that's kind of a good thing. Seeing as how, yeah, I got a tweet here from somebody who said, hey, when are we going to start getting a little worried about the starting pitching? You know, what with throwing 13 innings in the three games this weekend? That is a bit of a concern. Luis Garcia has not been himself of late.
Yeah.
He has not looked nearly as good
as
he
was.
Or
Fromber.
Greinke is Greinke, and we know what Greinke do.
But the problem is Greinke due Saturday, and that's one of the problems, is that's going to happen with Greinke. I mean, he'll give up some bombs. When he's not on, he is off and very hittable because he just doesn't have A-plus stuff. He relies on placement and ball movement, and if he's not on top of his game, now he'll get yanked around the yard. That's what the concern is right now. Is it Fromber? The entire time I'd been working off the fact, okay, Fromber's the ace. You got that going for you. This has now been this has been going on since James Harden was eliminated from, I remember that's when Fromber, I think that was the time I saw Fromber first struggle a little bit, is when Harden was eliminated from the playoffs and the Nets. That was a little while back. That's how long Fromber's struggles have been. Even with a quote-unquote win the other day, it wasn't good. He had three more walks. So this is not Fromber the ace territory. That we haven't been in that now for quite a few starts. Garcia is looking more like his historical self, where he's not a bad pitcher. he's just not going to be as dominant. So that bullpen is really going to be tested a lot more, I think, now. There was a time where the starters looked like they were just, you know, untouchable. Fromberg, Garcia, Odorizzi was starting to step up. You had Greinke now and Urquidy. Now Urquidy's not there. And then, you know, these other guys just aren't looking as good. So having Kendall Graveman, who looked fantastic his first performance, I mean, really looked great. And having, you know, Yimi, hopefully, and the entire group of relievers, you know, remaking that bullpen, it's going to be interesting to see if and when Baez gets back and if he has enough juice to come back and really be a factor. We know his fastball apparently is not topping out at what they were hoping for. So if that's not the case, they're not going to, I don't think they're going to rush him back. I mean, if his fastball's not hitting where they think it needs to hit, I don't think he'll be back in a lineup. I don't think they're going to just throw him in there unless he's got, you know, unless they know he's healthy and the arm's strong enough.
Right. Well, I mean, that was probably why the Straw deal was made, is because you thought you were getting Baez and it's a real possibility you don't.
Right.
It's a real possibility that he never pitches for you. Well, at least this year, maybe hopefully next year. But you signed him to a 2-year deal. And dude has given you nothing so far. So, but, you know, it was necessary to bolster that bullpen, especially the way the starting pitching has been going lately. Pawpaw Dusty does go to the pen. He's not afraid to work that bullpen. So you had to have more arms. You have sent down a couple of the guys, the Belax and the who else got sent down? Another big arm. Another one got sent down this weekend. Anyway, but you you had to have more bullpen help. And we see there's a guy on Twitch that says, I didn't like the Straw trade, but you know what? Straw was a luxury that you can't afford. What with Aledmys Diaz being back and the way Chaz McCormick is hitting, you needed another arm.
You and James Click talked about that. He was asked about it by Todd Callis, and he said, look, we want to get Chaz McCormick. We want to get him more at-bats, and we think that Jake Myers is just too talented. We got two guys that we can bring up. We think we got, you know, he didn't even mention Diaz, but he just said with Myers coming up and with McCormick, with his power, they want to get more at-bats. Yeah, you're right. Straw was somebody that they could afford to move, but what was surprising to me was the reaction. I saw overwhelmingly, and granted, look, you have to also factor in is it pronounced Maton?
Maton, I guess. Maton.
Yeah.
Yeah, Phil Maton.
It's not like you look at his numbers and get all excited. You have to go inside.
No, it's another arm.
You have to go inside the analytics and find some stuff. And I'm sure the Astros found something in there that they thought was projectable. But from a standpoint of just looking at pure statistics this year and looking at the growth that Straw's had, I was surprised at how many people, because Straw was not like this beloved Astro at the first half of the season, but he's really come on.
No.
No, he's really come on. People were not happy with that trade.
Mm-hmm. No.
Astros fans were very disappointed with that trade, and I certainly understood why they made it. It's because they could. They could move Straw and not see a sharp decline. I mean, maybe they lose some speed, but I mean, you got another arm. I think that's what is number one for them. I think the Astros said, look, we just don't trust any of our arms in the bullpen. It's that simple.
Yep.
We can't just have two. We got to have three new arms.
Yep. The biggest news coming out of the Olympics this weekend is that Simone Biles is going to be competing on the balance beam on Tuesday. So I don't know if that's less dangerous than the other. I think probably is, although it was the balance beam that
bigger
we saw Dominique Moceanu. That's the one that she hurt herself on, the balance beam, when she fell on her neck. You remember that one? You were sent that. You were sent that on Twitter. The Dominique Moceanu fall on her head.
Yeah, people sent me one thing. Literally hundreds of thousands of events have transpired. But regardless, the bigger news, I think, is the U.S. women's team getting beat by Canada in soccer.
How about that?
They are not going to play for the gold now. They are out. And this is, you know, considered the powerhouse in women's soccer from a World Cup standpoint, Olympic standpoint, and the women's soccer team loses 1-0. So they are out in terms of their shot at the gold. So that's probably the biggest news. But then Simone Biles, this is, I guess, the last event that she's got a chance to compete in, and she's going to compete in that. Suni Lee won the all-around.
See, and this female did not advance in the weightlifting. Did you see that? Laurel Hubbard,
yeah,
from Australia, was not able to advance. Dell had her as the favorite.
I did not.
She's one of, yeah, you talked about Laurel Hubbard and how
openly
liked her.
Openly transgender athlete.
Yeah.
When did I talk about her as a favorite?
When we first talked about it, that she was.
I never said she would win.
I thought she was. You said she was one of your favorite athletes. Anyway,
that's not the case.
I thought so, but anyway, the first openly transgender athlete at the Olympics, which they thought was pretty unfair, that she was able to compete in weightlifting, which is, you know, obviously would be a big advantage for a male to be competing. Actually, she failed on her three lifts, so she's out now. So all of your race baiting or something.
You mean gender baiting?
Well, in this case. Yeah. That. all of that now goes by the wayside, doesn't it?
If I remember correctly, who are you, the Twitch stream? My race baiting?
Mm-hmm.
If I remember correctly, I was the one saying she didn't always win despite what appeared to be a distinct advantage, and she didn't win this time.
No, she didn't win. That really doesn't look like a female competing in the weightlifting, does it?
No.
But apparently it doesn't matter. It does not matter. So that's actually a story there, because if she had won, there would have been quite the. We've talked about this a little bit here on the show, and we've had some calls about it. Is that how, you know, this transgender thing just isn't fair? Well, it didn't.
Well, they
it,
have-
it certainly maybe Laurel wasn't the right representative. I don't know. She actually has. You're right. She hasn't won everything every time she's competed.
Well, there is levels of hormones,
yes,
levels of testosterone that are legal and not legal
that she has to reach.
Which you have to.
Yeah.
It has to be inside those.
She numbers. Has to reach lower levels of testosterone just to be able to compete. And apparently that is something that hurt her weightlifting. All right, 713-780-3776, 729, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the number to call to get in here.
There's a video. There's a picture, a still shot of Laurel Hubbard. Like, this doesn't look like. It looks like the weights. It's showing her failing. I think in a way, this doesn't look like this is what was supposed to happen, right?
No.
The bar is going behind her. The arm is built at a weird. I saw that happen to me when I fell off a ladder.
That's not what the way. No.
Similar.
There was nothing like that.
Similar.
You well,
the
okay?
Arm
well,
angle, the arm angle.
Well, there you
similar.
Go. You and Laurel are quite similar in your athletic ability.
When I look at Lance, I immediately think, "Oh, that looks like Laurel Hubbard."
Laurel Hubbard.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's. when we come back, I don't know that we'll play it, but we can talk about the latest Deshaun Watson thing that came out this weekend. It's interesting. Next, right here, don't go anywhere.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. We're making an editorial decision here not to play the sound. You can find it. One of Deshaun's accusers was on some type of a podcast. Do you know the name of the podcast, though?
I'll pull it up here. The first I saw of it, I guess a Houston media member, at least on Twitter, goes by Big Sarge. I don't know his official. I don't know his real name. I apologize for that. That's the first I saw of it because I guess he watched the show. I mean, credit to him for finding it. And then it kind of got pushed around Houston Twitter. But what's this woman's name? It's called Unwind with Tasha K. That's the name of the show. Unwind, wine, like the, you know, what you drink. Unwind with Tasha K. And that's where it that's the podcast or the YouTube show. Nia Reese Lewis Smith is the name of the woman who's accusing Deshaun and talking about what he allegedly asked for.
Yeah. Nia Reese Lewis Smith is one of the accusers. She's on the podcast, and she says, well, she said that DeSean wished to have a digit.
Well, she said more than just that.
Inside.
About the massage thing. She said that all of her clients, you know, that he just kept focusing on the butt, the buttocks area, and was aggressively just no. You know, when she would pull up short and say, okay, like this, he'd say, no, just keep going. It was kind of like that. And then, you know, she got a little more graphic with it.
He was very adamant and was saying, don't be afraid to go inside.
Yeah. I don't think this changes anything. We've already heard this about him, right?
Yeah.
She's, I guess, an accuser, but not someone suing. As I keep reading about it, she is not suing him at all.
Oh, she's not.
No, but she's call her an accuser because she's giving her story. She also mentions that not only did he want the stuff, as you mentioned before, but he wanted her to focus on the groin area, and alleged that he asked her, do you want to put it in your...
Yeah.
He asked for oral sex.
These are all things we've heard. Almost heard. Story sounds almost identical to another girl's story that was out there, but who is one of the accusers for the lawsuit. Sounds almost identical, to be honest with you. So I guess not a surprise if that's, you know, allegedly what was going on with multiple people. This is what she alleges. She is not, to my knowledge, she has not filed lawsuit, but to my knowledge, she's not filed anything from a criminal complaint. It's just a girl,
but she is accuser.
Not crediting her.
She's an accuser.
Was she accused
in the sense that she's saying he did something inappropriate?
You heard it. Yeah.
But she's not suing him.
She just accused him on that podcast. But I also don't know anything about the podcast. I don't know anything about her. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I just want to make sure that we do position it as such that this is somebody that we. She does not currently have anything pending against DeSean Watson. This is her accusation.
So anyway, that's it.
Not
is.
Unlike things we've heard in the past.
Yeah. So anyway, it's just more stuff. While DeSean sits and watches, this thing is going to get, you know, DeSean with Tyrod Taylor gone. It's Jeff Driscoll and Davis Mills getting all the snaps.
Let's see. Tyrod Taylor was excused with for personal reasons. He had a personal matter. Let's see if he's back in camp today. Let's see if he's back in camp. What if DeSean's taking snaps with the ones?
What if DeSean's taking snaps?
What if he's out and DeSean's taking snaps with the ones?
He was out and he didn't get any snaps.
No, but what if today he is?
He's not going to.
They had a day off yesterday.
Yeah. Well, he's not going to.
What if?
Can
we do a sports map video about it?
We possibly could. What does it mean if DeSean gets number one snaps with the first team? It means nothing. It means that, you know what? They decided, Unchained. Well, he's going to be Unchained. DeSean Unchained, right?
Oof. I thought that's specifically for Lonnie Johnson.
Well, but if you're going to unchain Lonnie Johnson, he's a safety. DeSean's a safety. You're going to unchain all the safeties. Apparently, Justin Reed made an interception. Well,
if you're picking off Davis Mills, does it really count?
Yeah, it really, really counts. That's an NFL quarterback, Del.
Okay.
Kind of.
Kind of, maybe. You know, I now realize why the Texans have been hitting you up so much for your season tickets, because they got to pay for their new locker room.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
It's going to be almost as nice as LSU's Alabama's. In Texas.
Yeah, it's like right on par with Alabama's, maybe. So the question is, there's a video of Cal talking to some of the guys. I'm going to listen to this and see if we get any gems from Cal. But, you know, it's Justin Reed walking around, some other players that I guess will be here on opening day. I don't know. Who knows? But, yeah, it's a nice place branded in Texan colors, you might imagine. It's probably certainly state-of-the-art, different from... Because you remember, they haven't had an update since really the beginning. And those guys are sitting on, like, folding chairs. And wasn't it a folding chair scenario in front of the lockers for the Texans?
Yeah.
And now they've got, the best of the best. And Alabama's like, welcome to our world.
Yeah. No, honestly, the college locker rooms are 1,000 times better.
Yeah.
Do you know Alabama has Alabama has a they've got something there in their performance, on the performance side, the track and field athletes use, that measures stride length, the force and power of the stride and the hips and all. Like, they're using the most advanced technology. Texas had stuff that I had never heard of. When I went to practice back in 2019, they had the shells that would alert the staff through a text message if a player took a certain amount of force on his head, so they could go check on him. A 360-degree, a 3D limb posing thing that could show where you're loading your weight when you explode. Like, there's so much stuff out there, and Alabama has all of it. Why wouldn't you? You hire former head coaches as your analysts on a regular basis. Like, oh, this guy's fired? Good, we'll take him. As they're paying off your contract, we'll take you for pennies on the dollar and help you throw the Alabama brand on you. We'll use your knowledge, and you'll eventually go get a head coaching job somewhere else again. That's what Alabama is. Alabama's just like, it's a halfway house between college and the pros.
Mm-hmm.
Only they're more advanced than the Bengals. I would guess that Alabama stuff is way better than the Bengals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think that's even a stretch.
713-780-3776. If you want to get in here to hang with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, some accusations, some really unbelievably ugly accusations against an NHL player. I know we don't care much about the NHL here. This is a pro athlete, though, that's getting accused of actually gambling, betting on his own team, and actually leaving his family destitute as well.
That was so bad.
This is, the whole thing is ugly. He has responded. So we'll talk about it on the other side.
Wait until you hear. Yeah. You want to talk about a pissed off wife?
Oh my goodness!
She put it on him on social media.
Holy crap!
And by the way, not only do we have that, one of the biggest upsets in Olympic history. We haven't even gotten to.
Yeah. How about that? We'll do it on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
First, wouldn't you guys like to discuss Linville plastic surgery?
Oh, Linville. I would like to. Lance don't know nothing about that.
That's true.
He never got any hair. I got the hair. You know what I got? I got hair from Doc Linville. And I'm going to tell you this. If you get on Twitch right now, you can see it. It's wonderful. I'm flipping my hair back like Flavio or whatever his name is. Fabio. You know, Fabio. You know, that's the kind of hair I have now. And it's all because of Doc Linville. No, seriously. It is amazing. It is really amazing what he does for you. And if you're somebody that is follically challenged, if you're somebody that just can't stand it, you don't want to go bald, why would anybody be PO'd that you didn't want to be bald or make fun of you or whatever? I used to get made fun of all the time about my bald spot. Never. Now, never. Never. So it is awesome. 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 And you know what? Well, I'm not that vain or whatever. Do you want hair or do you not want hair? You know what? Listen, I've been bald and I've been hairy. Hairy is better. And when you go to Doc Linville, the process is wonderful and he is going to get this job done for you. He got it done for me. And listen, you're going to love it. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Fun sports.
Kane is in the building.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So let's start with Evander Kane first. Evander Kane is an NHL player. And apparently his wife is none too pleased with him. He's a San Jose Shark. And she is, boy, she put some stuff out there. She said, first of all, that he is not around for his daughter, that he is going to Europe. She had to sell her wedding ring in order to pay for their kids to eat. He would not give her any money. And she also said that he bets on San Jose games. She said this.
And added the commissioner.
Can someone ask Gary Bettman how they can let a player gamble on his own games? Bet and win with bookies on his own games? Yikes. She claims that he's vacationing in Europe. He's estranged from his family. He doesn't talk to his daughter. His daughter goes around the house asking for where's Papa, where's Daddy. First of all, he says, I never gambled, bet on hockey, never gambled, bet on a Sharks game, never gambled, bet on any games, and never thrown a hockey game. Facts are, I personally had my best season of my career last year and was the most consistent I've been throughout any season. I'm proud of that. I love the game of hockey, blah, 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 blah. Then he goes on to say, I love my daughter. I always have taken care of my daughter in every way possible. He claims that she has some mental health issues. I would encourage people to realize that someone who goes to this length to try and jeopardize someone's career with lies is mentally unwell. I hope this is the last time I will be publicly addressing any further misrepresentations of me as a father. Anyway, you want to talk about
now, more, there are some receipts
uglier,
on Kane.
Uglier divorce, public divorce, Ben Zobrist or this one?
Well, Zobrist is pretty bad, but let's let this one play out.
Yeah. This one's got the makings.
There's problems here because he does have a history of some issues with markers, with casinos, $500,000. It's his issues with money and gambling is noted. This is not some make-believe thing. The issue, when you start talking about gambling on your own games, you're looking at potential suspensions for the year or an indefinite ban. Man, that one is a big, big, big one. She accuses him of running off and going to Europe and staying at the nice hotels and doing this and that when they had no money for her and her kids. She's pregnant. I mean, she's pregnant. She's due with his baby. And she said that he's just basically left them. So, the mental health thing and basically what he said was she's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That he just reworded it and he used the old you can't listen to her, she's crazy. But there are some historical issues he has had. So from a financial standpoint that might be worth keeping an eye on. So I don't think this one's over, by the way. I think this one is going to keep on going for a while. It will be interesting to see because she obviously. The commissioner's office is going to reach out to her and get a hold of her if they haven't already. And they're going to ask for specifics. And she's going to have some conversations with her more than just an Instagram post.
Well, she also posted a picture besides all of that stuff. She also posted a picture of a book, Casino Gambling for Dummies. And she says, when your own teammates give you this book, I think they are trying to tell you maybe you're not the best at the tables, bud. Yeah, so Anna Kane is someone who is bitter, bitter, bitter. She is, however, really endangering the ability of him to make money and actually, send money to her when now hey, listen.
Although she says that's not happening anyway.
Well, no. But once the divorce comes, he'll be forced to. And if he doesn't send her the money, then he'll be his money.
You're assuming they're getting divorced, but I don't. Have they moved in that direction at all?
I think he's moving in that direction. Yeah, yeah.
You just assuming after she.
No, I think he mentioned something about divorce. I'm hoping that the divorce that he is filing for divorce.
Okay.
It doesn't get much ugly. Well, Ben Zobrist, that got pretty ugly too, especially how public that got, which is something that you just don't need. But that is That is horrible. Now, on the positive side of gambling, if you didn't bet on the Italian sprinter, you want to talk about some patriotism for my people, for the Italians, where an Italian, and he doesn't get much more Italian than a guy named Jacobs.
Or Lamont.
Yeah, his name is Lamont Jacobs.
Lamont Jacobs. Oh, Lamont Jacobs.
But listen to the Italian call and the name they settle on as he runs and wins.
Tutto valido stavolta, è una buona partenza, cattiva invece per Subintian. Marcel Jacobs parte, Marcel Jacobs vince! Marcel Jacobs va! Marcello! Vince! Marcello! 9-9! Marcello, sei campione olimpico! Marcel Jacobs!
10 minuti!
9-79! Signore mio, cosa hai combinato stasera? Un primo di agosto in cui hai messo insieme questo menù mostruoso! 9-79!
Did you hear the name as he was racing? It was Marcel, then Marcello as he was.
That's what I thought they were saying.
Marcello. And then, oh yeah, Lamont, Marcel Jacobs at the end. But it was Marcel.
They're going
Marcel,
with the Italian Marcello.
And then when he was striding,
no,
to victory,
it doesn't get more Italian.
Marcello.
It doesn't get more Italian than Marcello.
It's Lamont Marcel Jacobs. To them, it's Marcello. His mom is Italian. He was born in. He's actually a native Texan. Another Texan wins a gold medal.
El Paso?
Yeah. He was born in El Paso.
But as an infant, he went to Italy. So he's Italian.
Moved at 3 months.
Yeah.
Moved at 3 months to Italy. So, like, he's real Italian.
Yes, he's real
Italian.
He's
got a mom who's Italian. He just, people looked at him and said, and I got more than a couple text messages like, hey, did a Lamont just win a gold medal for Italy in sprinting? Did that just happen? I said, yes. And a white girl's running in the finals of the 200 meters for U.S. So a lot of things are happening crazy in the Olympics, although this girl, I guess, has actually been pretty good for a while. Did you see her?
Yeah.
What is it? Brindini or whatever? She's running. I think she might be also Italian, John.
Cheap.
But
if she's that fast, probably more than likely.
Now, if you just say Lamont Jacobs, you think, okay, this is an AAU player. He's maybe in the ninth grade. He's ranked number 11 in the class. No.
Mm-mm.
No. He's the number one sprinter and, by the way, ran a 9.80 and fast. So ran a good time. And he doesn't look like – did you see him? Did you actually see him run?
Yeah.
Okay. His body type does not look like a sprinter.
But he looks
thick.
Like a fullback.
Yeah,
a tight end.
He's got big shoulders, big arms.
He's
not
big,
not like
dude.
The cut defined. You know, there's a lot of guys who are ripped who are runners. No, this is a thick. He does not look like he should run that fast. He absolutely does not look like he should run that fast. But there he is, and he has this loose shirt. You know, the Italians mm-hmm. did not come in with a great uniform this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he had this loose shirt on. It's all stretched out at the top. It just doesn't look like somebody who should be running a 9.8 and winning a gold medal. And yet, here we are. He's winning a gold medal. And so the Italians win a runner named Lamont Jacobs, born in El Paso, wins gold for the Italians, where he was basically raised from like age 3 months on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going on.
It's been a good summer for the Italians.
Yes,
winning Euros and then the winning. Actually, the Italians showed some grace along with a guy from Qatar.
That was cool.
Or Qatar, depending on who you are. They split the high jump gold medal because they could have gone to a jump off, but I think
the guy from Italy was so excited because he knew he probably wasn't good. The guy from Qatar was.
How, if you missed it, they tied at a certain height, and then they both failed, I think, three times at a higher height, and then the guy came to them, hey, do you guys want to do a jump off? And then the guy from Qatar says, can we both have gold? And
he's like, well,
I guess.
It's
possible.
It's a possibility.
And then the Italian guy was like,
and the Italian guy looked at him like,
come on!
What?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, let's both.
Right.
And they had this huge hug. It was a really cool moment. And if you watch the 100 meters, That's the Italian guy
who
runs
was jumping
on
him. Yeah,
yeah, that runs on. He had just won a gold medal like 10 minutes earlier.
Yep. We was wondering what. Hey, who are you? Get off him. And then you find out he's the gold medal high jumper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had a good day yesterday.
What a great day for us.
I know you guys saw I think it was in the Euros. Was it in the Euros where they showed the Italian soccer team? It wasn't even a joke. Like, it was a real thing where the Italian, somebody goes, as an Italian journalist, I am so disgusted by the amount of stereotypes that are out there about our people. And then he posted a video of Italians all doing this with their hands,
to the ref,
talking with their hands, no, to each other in the locker room before they even went out. They're like, hey, what the fuck? Well,
and then every time on the field, they always were like, hey.
And so when the guy wins, Lamont Jacobs wins 100, the high jump guy comes over there, gives him a big hug, and then comes over to celebrate, and he's like, he's doing some of his hand. You know,
you can't talk without
you. Tell me, what is all the when do y'all learn the Italian hands?
We can't talk without our hands. It's impossible.
When do you guys learn?
No,
that?
If you tied our hands behind our back, that would be the quietest country on earth. If you tied every Italian's hands behind their back, because you can't talk without your hands in Italy. That's all there is to it.
Since we're talking about all these international sports, can we talk about the U.S. taking another one from Mexico yesterday?
Yes, but first, can we also mention John's?
But this isn't the Olympics.
Oh, and it's at the very end.
I don't know if you heard, our team didn't make it.
It's the Gold Cup.
This is basically the Olympics.
Was the gold? So now, what's the Gold Cup coming up here?
Well, the Gold Cup just finished last night.
Oh, it just finished last night.
We had a semifinal here in Houston, Mexico versus Qatar. What it was is it was the U.S. B team versus the Mexico A/B team. They had some guys missing, but a lot of their frontline guys played. The U.S. was playing a lot of younger MLS guys. The U.S. last night in Vegas, in a, let's just say, a hostile crowd, because that's always what it is. It was probably 90% Mexico fans, and they went on a header in like the 117th, 18th minute to beat Mexico for the second time this summer. The U.S. hadn't had a good run against Mexico in games that, you know, resulted in trophies. That's two in a row. So eat it, Eltry.
Oh, why? See, we have a lot of Mexican listeners here in this city.
Too bad.
And you consistently say,
"See, there's
too
bad."
Eat it. I didn't say USA, USA, USA.
I didn't say eat it. People from of Mexican descent.
No,
or Mexico.
Well, you might as well.
That is
we're
a team.
For the USA team.
Hey, sorry. If everybody says suck it to you, what are you? You're going to take that personally.
Yes, but that is every Mexican, every person Mexican descent here doesn't.
Are you
root
for Team Mexico or something?
No, I'm for all people.
Well, okay. I'm for Team USA.
I had a Mexicano tweeting, texting me yesterday, and he's not rooting for Mexico. He's rooting for the U.S. It's not.
Yeah.
That's different. I didn't say suck it Mexico. I said suck it El Tri.
By the
that's
way,
different.
Oh. Also, John, in more outrageous, I'm just going to throw this one in there, too. Another unbelievable long shot besides an Italian one in 100 meters, a Greek guy won the long jump.
How about that?
What is happening here? A Greek beat two Cubans. Okay. They
but
both
how,
got hurt.
How have I told you about my people?
The two Cubans
and
got
how
hurt.
Athletic.
The two Cubans
how athletic
got hurt.
My people are.
The Cubans couldn't keep jumping, so they were like, okay, well, we got y'all's best jumps. These jumps aren't even close to what Carl Lewis used to get.
Mm.
Like, you know how the 100-meter time is just really, really fast? Long jump's one that,
yeah.
Yeah, there's no one jumping 30 feet. We haven't seen this. This gravitational pull towards records and tons of records. Swimming, new records all the time. Anything having to do with speed. Track and field, new records all the time. Long jump, nothing new.
Nothing
I'm watching the men's U.S. team. He's all excited because he got to 27 feet. I'm like, Carl Lewis pissed 27 feet.
Whoa, whoa,
what
whoa.
What are you doing?
Wow, we don't know how
long
far.
Jump. No wonder we're not winning
we
any
We don't
medals.
Know how far Carl Lewis peed. We don't know that. You
I know
don't know
he jumped
that.
28.
No.
I know he jumped 28.
You disrespected him a little bit. 759 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Saints are in trouble, and the Texans could help them. Do you? Would you? On the other side.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.